An old preacher was dying. He sent a message for his banker and his lawyer, both church members, to come to his home. When they arrived, they were ushered up to his bedroom. As they entered the room, the preacher held out his hands and motioned for them to sit on each side of the bed. The preacher took their hands, sighed contentedly, and smiled and stared at the ceiling. For a time, no one said anything. Both the banker and the lawyer were touched and flattered that the preacher would ask them to be with him during his final moments. They were also puzzled. The preacher had never given them any indication that he particularly liked either of them. They both remembered his many long, uncomfortable sermons about greed, covetousness, and avarice behavior that made them squirm in their seats. Finally, the banker said, "Preacher, why did you ask us to come?" The old preacher mustered up his strength and said to them weakly, "Jesus died between two thieves, and that's how I want to go." As you know, Jesus spoke seven times from the cross. I'd like to talk about just one of them this afternoon. The words that Jesus spoke to the repentant thief, sometimes called the good thief. "Amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." So we know that in Matthew's gospel and in Mark's gospel, both Matthew and Mark said that both thieves were blaspheming at the beginning. Both of them were cursing and blaspheming. But one of them had a deathbed conversion. One of them repented. Perhaps it was because he had heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." We know that in Luke's gospel, it says, when they came to the place called the Skull, which is Golgotha, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Tradition is that St. Dismas was on the Lord's right, and the other man's name by tradition is Gestas, was on his left. And Jesus said to his heavenly Father, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Then, of course, he divided his garments. It says the rulers sneered at him. The soldiers jeered at him. The crowd, obviously, was making all sorts of comments. And now the criminal to his left, according to tradition, who is hanging there, began to revile Jesus as well. So not only were the religious leaders and the soldiers and the crowd, but even the man crucified next to him began to revile Jesus. And he said, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." And now we have the other thief, however, it says, rebuked him and said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes, which could have been insurrection or theft or murder. We don't exactly know." But then he says, "This man has done nothing criminal." And then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied to him, "Amen. Truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." One of the most comforting and beautiful words said in the entire scripture. Now, this saint, we call him Saint Dismas by tradition, is the patron saint of deathbed conversions. He's the patron saint of prisoners, repentant thieves, and he's also the patron saint of funeral directors, along with Joseph of Arimathea. By the way, it was said that when Joseph of Arimathea's wife heard that Joseph had given his brand new tomb to Jesus for his burial, she was very upset with him. But Joseph reminded her, "Don't worry, I'll get it back in 3 days. He only wants to use it temporarily." So St. Dismas is the patron saint of a happy death. Why is that? Well, of course, it's because he was given the grace, again, I believe because he heard Jesus forgiving and asking the Father to forgive everyone, the soldiers, the leaders, the crowd, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And this touched the heart of St. Dismas, and perhaps also the prayers of our Blessed Mother. Tradition is that she also was standing, obviously, at the side. Scripture says she was standing at the foot of the cross, and I'm sure was praying at the foot of the cross for those that were crucified with the Lord. Now, this man first felt sorry for his sins. He admitted his sinfulness. He repented of them, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. And sometimes people use this as an example, is that all you need is faith alone to be saved. You probably heard that. Well, the good thief, all he had was faith alone. But did he just have faith alone? I would say he had a lot more than that. He was saved because God's grace touched his heart, and we're saved by God's grace. And he responded to God's grace with faith, hope, and love. He showed tremendous faith. He showed love for Christ, and he certainly had hope that Jesus would take him in one day into paradise. And I would say that he was not saved by faith alone. In fact, he was saved by faith and works. What are the spiritual works of mercy? I would say that within a couple of moments, this thief did almost every one of the spiritual works of mercy. What is the first spiritual work of mercy? Admonish the sinner. He admonished the other thief on the cross. He rebuked him. It says he rebuked him and said, "Have you no fear of God?" Fear of the Lord is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he had courage to stand up and defend Christ before the leaders, the soldiers, and the crowd. So the first work of mercy he did was to rebuke the sinner and admonish the sinner. Second, another work of mercy is to instruct the ignorant, to instruct the uninformed. And he certainly did that by letting people know that this man has done nothing wrong. He counseled the doubtful. He bore his sufferings patiently. One of the works of mercy is to bear sufferings patiently. And the good thief bore his sufferings patiently. He said, "We deserve this for our crimes." But again, this man has done nothing wrong. He comforted the afflicted. He comforted Christ. Imagine those words to Jesus that would have brought the Lord so much comfort when everyone else was reviling him and jeering at him and sneering at him and yelling at him. This man turned to him and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He called Jesus a king. What comfort that would have given to the Lord to see this man's conversion at the last minute. And then the last spiritual work of mercy is to pray for the living and the dead. And this man did pray for the living. He prayed for himself. And that counts too, right? He said, and that might have been his first prayer that he'd ever prayed in his life. It might have been his last prayer, and it might have been his only prayer. But that one prayer brought about his salvation. And as Bishop Sheen said, this truly was the world's greatest thief, because he stole heaven at the last minute. And heaven can be stolen again if we do the same things. Repent, turn our life over to Christ, and accept him as our Lord and King. And so he turns to Jesus and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And then Jesus says something interesting. "Amen," which means, "Truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Notice he doesn't say you'll be with me in heaven. He says you'll be with me in paradise. Why is that? Well, because even though at the moment of Jesus' death, the gates of heaven were opened, as represented by the curtain in the temple torn in two from top to bottom, but no one entered heaven until Jesus ascended to heaven 43 days later. As you know, the Catechism says, When the Lord died, he descended to the dead, to the realm of the dead, called Sheol in Hebrew, Hades in Greek. What was the abode of the dead? It was paradise. It was the limbo of the fathers, the bosom of Abraham. It was where all the holy men and women of the Old Testament were waiting for Jesus to open the gates of heaven. They were good, righteous people waiting to be able to enter heaven. These would be people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarch Joseph, Adam and Eve, if they eventually repented of their sins, Moses, Noah, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Melchizedek, Saint Joseph, and the holy innocent children slain by King Herod. All of these holy men, women, and children were in this paradise, waiting for Jesus to open the gates of heaven. Their tradition is that Jesus ascended to the dead. He proclaimed the gospel to those that were there, according to St. Paul. And then, of course, he rose from the dead on Easter. But again, Jesus stayed on earth for 40 days. And then he ascended to heaven 40 days later. And their tradition is that that's when all of them went to heaven, including the good thief. That's why Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So what I like so much about this interaction between Jesus and the good thief is that it gives us hope. It gives us hope for the possibility of deathbed conversions. And so there's always hope for your children, your grandchildren, your siblings, your parents, for those that we love, that God will, and even at the last instant of their life, their last gasp of breath, can be saved. And what an encouragement that is. Let me end with this little quote from the Legion of Mary handbook, one of my favorite books, as you know. A quote from St. John Chrysostom, one of the great fathers of the church, who wrote this in the year 400. "This robber stole paradise. No one before him ever received such a promise. Not Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Moses or the prophets or the apostles. The thief pressed in before all of these, but his faith also surpassed theirs. He saw Jesus tormented and adored him as if he were in glory. He saw him nailed to a cross and petitioned him as if he were enthroned. He saw him condemned and asked a favor of him as of a king. O admirable thief, thou didst see a crucified man, and thou didst proclaim Almighty God."